All right, let's take our Bibles now and look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. And I would like to read starting in verse 38. In verse 38, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. And here in verse 38, it says, Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, so the Lord Jesus answered, and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, what do we know about Jonas? Well, look at verse 40. The Lord Jesus tells us specifically what we are to view from Jonah as a sign. And in verse 40, Jesus said, For as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Now notice that. 3 days and 3 nights. And he was in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that is an amazing couple of verses. Just absolutely phenomenal what the Lord Jesus said here. Now, this week I had a note that was sent to me, and then I had another person who called and talked with me and asked me some questions about what I want to share with you tonight. And I did my best to answer them on the phone, but I want to answer both of these tonight, and I hope that it'll be a help to each and every one of you. Now, the note that I got said, Pastor, can you explain or will you explain the timing of the events from the cross to the resurrection? Now, I had to sit there and think about that for a moment to realize exactly what this person was saying. And so when I read that, I just sat there and thought about it, and I thought, okay, now what is he wanting to know? And then I noticed, I looked back down at the page, and it said, I am so confused. We all know that it was 3 days and 3 nights that Jesus was in the tomb. So if he was crucified on Good Friday, right there's the first mistake. All right, if he was crucified on Good Friday. Now I want to stop right here and just say to you that he was not crucified on Good Friday. All right, every Friday is a Good Friday, if you want my opinion. I like Friday. But there's no such thing as Good Friday in the Bible. It's just not there. And Jesus was not crucified on Friday. But the question was, if he was crucified on Good Friday and then resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week, the question is, how can you possibly get 3 days and 3 nights out of Friday to Sunday? All right, now I have answered this question several times, but when two people at the same time, two different people, by the way, at the same time, write me a note and say, explain this. And then I got to thinking, about them, and both of them have are relatively new folks to the church. And so that's probably why they are confused. But it was a blessing to my heart to see finally somebody thinking things through that they read in the Bible and then legitimately coming up with how the world comes to the decision that it has made. And if it doesn't fit the Bible, do I go with the Bible or do I go with what man says? Well, you know the answer to that one. You go with what the Bible says, with what God says. All right, so the question was, how can you possibly get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday to Sunday? Now, look carefully, please, back at the verse that I read here. Let's look down specifically now at verse 40. And in verse 40, you see, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights. Now that is key right there. We all know that the Lord Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the tomb, in the grave. So we all know that. And the Bible here says that. And so how do you get 3 days from Friday to Sunday? Well, you can't. It's impossible. Even with this new math, this Common Core math thing, you cannot get 3 days from Friday to Sunday. It just will not. The math just does not work. So unless you are one who just takes the word of men over the word of God, and evidently there are a lot of folks that will do that. They'll take man's word instead of God's word, and, you know, like so many other things, you know, the world's church totally has got these matters wrong. They always have had these matters wrong. This matter, the world's church has wrong. Jesus was not crucified on a Friday. You see, just like atonement, and just like with Mary, and just like with the place of the crucifixion, and just like with the Bible, the scriptures, and on and on and on and on the list goes, come to think of it, the world's church really doesn't get anything right when you think about it. But I digress. You cannot, my point is, you cannot get 3 days and three nights if you believe in what the world says and believe in a Friday crucifixion. Now, let me just divide this into two areas of thought for our study tonight. First of all, let's establish that the Bible is clear about 3 days and three nights. Again, look at verse 40. It is as clear as it can be. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus said that when he is crucified, that he will be in the tomb. He will be dead for 3 days and for three nights. And the Bible is very clear on that. Now, folks, if you go back into the Old Testament and read forward, you will see over and over and over the 3 days and the three nights in Scripture. The first place you see it is with Abraham and Isaac. And the Bible says that they went 3 days to Mount Moriah, where Abraham attempted to offer Isaac as a sacrifice upon the altar. And that Moriah is, ironically, the exact same mountain where the Lord Jesus was crucified a couple of thousand years later. So there's Abraham and Isaac. And then, of course, probably one of the most obvious is the story of Jonah And Jonah, 3 days and three nights, is in the belly of the whale before it vomited him out of its mouth. Now, Jesus said here in Matthew 12 and verse 40, he said that this will be the only sign that you're going to get. Now, why would that be the only sign? Well, because it had backing from Scripture. They would be able to look back and say, oh, 3 days Abraham and Isaac. Oh, 3 days Jonah. And they would see Isaac was raised up off of that altar and Jonah came out of the whale's belly. And so Jesus said, when the scribes and the Pharisees were questioning him and said, give us a sign. Jesus said, you're only going to get one. You're only going to get one. Just like it was with Jonah, it's going to be with me. Just as Jonah was spit out of the whale after the 3 days and three nights, swallowed up in death, will only stay in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. I will resurrect. I will come back to life. So that Jesus said, that is the only sign that you're going to see. So Old Testament and New Testament alike. All right, now make sure you catch this. Jesus says this here in the New Testament, and then you got Abraham and Isaac, and you got Jonah in the Old Testament. So, Old Testament and New Testament alike, the Scriptures prophesied and told us that Jesus would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, if it were not according to Scriptures, then the Bible would be inaccurate. If Jesus did not resurrect from the grave according to the Scriptures, then the Bible would be inaccurate. And it cannot, if it's not accurate, you cannot trust it. I cannot trust it. And if you can't trust it on this issue, then you can't trust it on any other issue. So what I'm saying is, if the Bible is inaccurate, and if Jesus said this is the way it's going to be, and then it wasn't that way, then you can't trust the Bible on any subject. So we just might as well sell all this property and all these buildings, just sell it all and divide it up among the congregation and throw the Bible in the drawer and let's just all go on with our lives. But you see, the whole thing is according to Scripture. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's between you and God. That's between you and God. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about it. I believe it. You say, well, why do you believe it, Pastor? I believe it because it's in the book. And if God says it's so, then I believe it's true. So in other words, Jesus had to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, or everything would simply fall apart. Everything would fall apart. And so Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, as they tell us the fact that Jesus resurrected on the third day, all right, on Sunday, on the first day of the week, 3 days after the crucifixion, all right, so as the gospel writers tell us this, for example, Matthew 28 and verse 1, Matthew says, in the end of the Sabbath, that's the Sabbath day, Saturday. So it says, Matthew said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. All right, so that's Sunday. All right, so at the end of the Sabbath, Saturday, and then he says it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So early in the morning as the sun was rising. And so here's the argument. If Jesus resurrected on a Sunday, and we know he did. Matthew tells us he did. So if he resurrected on Sunday, and you go back 3 days, there is no way possible for you to come up with a Friday crucifixion. No way. It is impossible for you to get there. And yet, the world today says that Jesus was crucified on Friday. And I submit to you, no, he was not. You see, folks, if the devil doesn't muddy the water at the source, then he's not doing his job, is he? And that's exactly what the devil has done. He has muddied this whole matter and brought confusion to what should be the most unifying and the most blessed few days that this world has ever seen. When our Savior went to the cross and took our sins upon himself and then was buried and then resurrected from the grave. So I'm telling you, folks, the timing on this is important, and we must be clear about the 3 days and the 3 nights. So there's no question in my mind, I hope there's no question in your mind, that Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and for 3 nights. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph and was dead when they buried him. But on the third day, he came out alive. All right, so that's the first thing. We establish the Bible is clear about the 3 days and the 3 nights. Now, second thing we must be clear on. Let's establish the specifics of the Jewish day. Now, there is something about the Jewish day that we need to understand if we're going to understand the day in which our Savior was crucified and the day in which our Savior was resurrected. All right, now, hold your place here in Matthew, and I want you to go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, for just a moment. Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to look, please, at verse 1. Genesis 1:1. That's the very first page of your Bible. And in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night." Now watch this next phrase. This is vital. This is key. In verse 5, the second sentence in that verse says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, if we were writing that here in America, and literally everywhere else in the world except for Israel. If we were to write that, we would have said, and the morning and the evening were the first day. That's what we would have said. All right, very clearly, when you get to 12 o'clock midnight, we go from p.m. to a.m. and we refer to a.m. as the morning. Those a.m. hours last from 12 o'clock for us, 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 12 hours of the morning. And then you have 12 hours of the evening. So from 12 noon to 12 midnight. That's here. That's how we have set up our time. But how did God do it? Well, in verse 5, God said, and the evening and the morning were the first day. One of the strangest things that I remember, there were so many things when I went to Israel the first time. Karen and I went the first time in 1990. And when we got there, there were so many things that I was unfamiliar with. I had no clue that they went on. And one of those things was this. Their day starts at 6 in the evening, 6 p.m. That's when the Jewish day begins. The day goes from 6 all the way through the night, past 6 in the morning, and all the rest of the day until 6 in the evening. So the Jewish day goes from 6 to 6. Our day goes from midnight to midnight. But the Jewish day, look at verse 5, goes from the evening to the morning. Do you see that? It goes from the evening to the morning. All right? And so that's the difference. That surprised me. And you're in Jerusalem and it's Tuesday and you go to dinner and then all of a sudden it's no longer Tuesday. It's Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It is not Tuesday any longer. It is now Wednesday. That's how they view it. So the day goes. You say, well, where do they get that? Right here. From the beginning, this is the way it was. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All right? So understand that. And the evening and the morning were the first day. It does not say, and from midnight unto midnight was the first day. That's how we view it. But God views it as the evening to the morning. Now, that is how the non-Jewish world views the day, from midnight to midnight, from 12 o'clock midnight to 12 o'clock midnight. That is one 24-hour day, all right? But with the Jews, it is a whole different ballgame. They start at 6 in the evening, 6 p.m., what we call the evening, all right, from noon until 6 is the afternoon, all right, then from 6 until midnight, that's the evening, and then from midnight to 6, that's the morning. It goes all the way till noon, really, in their eyes, and that's the morning. And then it goes up to 6 o'clock, and that's the end of their day. And so the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. It goes for 24 hours to 6 p.m. And folks, that's the way the Jews have done it since the beginning. They have done it that way. And the reason is because of what it says here at the end of verse 5. I remember when I questioned our guide, Michael Almog was his name. And I questioned him. I said, all right, I'm confused. Why do you guys do this 6 to 6 thing with the length of a day? And so he said, he looked at me. He said, well, preacher, you got a Bible? And I said, well, yeah, I got a Bible. He said, all right, open it up. And so I just opened it. He said, no, not there. Turn to Genesis. So I turned back to Genesis 1. He said, read verse 5. And so I read verse 5. And when I got to the word and, where the second sentence is, he said, pay attention. Pay attention. And so I read, and the evening and the morning were the first day. He said, there it is. And that's why they do it that way, because that's how God views the day. All right? I hope you're clear on that. But it is important that you understand the Jewish, how the Jewish day works. All right? Now, the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week, is Saturday. Now, we go to church on Sunday. We do not observe the Saturday as the Sabbath day, as the day of rest. That's what Sabbath means. It means rest. All right? So Saturday was throughout the law, throughout all the Old Testament, Saturday was the day of rest. All right? 6 days of creation, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on the seventh day, Saturday, God rested. Okay? Please get that. Now, look at Genesis chapter 2. Just look over here, Genesis 2. Look at verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now, what's that? Well, that's the whole universe. The sun, the moon, the planets, the stars. Everything was completed by God on that in that six-day period. Then in verse 2, watch it. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he Sabbathed. All right? He rested. He Sabbathed on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had Sabbathed, rested from all his work which God created and made. All right, so the seventh day, the Bible tells us the seventh day is a Saturday. And that is the day where the Lord rested after 6 days of creating the entire universe. All right, so God tells us that on the seventh day, he rested. And that's where we get the term Sabbath in the Hebrew, and that word means to rest. So, think with me now. Using this information, let's determine the day of the crucifixion. Now, don't forget that we already know beyond any shadow of doubt that the Lord Jesus resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week. Matthew 28, verse 1 shows us that. And there are many other verses, but that's just the one that I wanted to give you for the sake of time. All right, now, sometime, listen carefully now, sometime after 6 p.m. on what we call Saturday evening. We would call it Saturday evening. But at 6 o'clock over in Israel, the Sabbath is over. Saturday is done. And it at 6 o'clock on what we call Saturday evening becomes the first day of the week, Sunday. And so, don't forget that. So Saturday would be over at 6 p.m. And at 6 o'clock, it would become Sunday, the Sabbath day. And when 6 o'clock Saturday, what we call Saturday, rolls around, then we've been there. We've seen it. We've been there on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, and they come and roll the streets up. And they shut all the shops and they close all the blinds. Everything shuts down. And then on Saturday at 6 p.m., all of a sudden everything springs back to life. At 6 o'clock on the dot, blinds fly open, doors fly open, signs are put outside, and they're open for business. That's just, and it's that way every single Saturday and Friday and Saturday in Israel. So we know for the Jews on Saturday at 6, it becomes Sunday. The Sabbath is over, and the shops and the restaurants, everything reopens and life picks up again. In order, now listen carefully, in order for you to get 3 days and three nights, you must see that Jesus was crucified not on a Friday. Now let's take the Jewish day, the way they look at the day, and let's see if we can get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion. All right, so he would have had to been put in the ground before 6 o'clock on that Friday evening. You with me? So if they put him in the tomb at 6 o'clock, before 6 o'clock on Friday evening, from Friday at 6 o'clock, it becomes the Sabbath day, it becomes Saturday. So you would have had one night and one day. All right, I started to say nod your heads, but I wonder how many of you would nod your heads. But you see that? One day. And then Saturday at 6 o'clock, it becomes the first day of the week. And we know that Jesus resurrected towards the morning of that first day of the week. So it is impossible to get 3 days and three nights with a Friday crucifixion. You say, well then, Pastor, on what day of the week was he crucified? He was crucified on Wednesday. Wednesday. Now, let me help you with this. Turn over to John. How are we doing on time? We're good. Look at John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And I want you to follow along as I read, starting in verse 28. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That means, folks, he died. Now watch this. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. Now what does that mean? It means that the yearly Passover was going to start that evening at 6 o'clock. So Jesus had, let me go through the timeline for you. Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room on what we would call Tuesday evening. All right? Tuesday evening. And he ate the Passover supper, the Seder, with his disciples. They then walked across Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then, after prayer, they walked up to Mount of Olives. And here comes Judas leading the Romans, and they arrested the Lord Jesus and took him to the house of Caiaphas. They tried him illegally all night long, and they beat him and they scourged him all through the night. The next morning, they took him to Pilate. That would be Wednesday morning. So Tuesday night, he had the Passover supper and then was arrested. The next morning, Caiaphas, the high priest, sent him over to Pilate. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." And they protested vehemently, crucify him, they said. And someone said, you're going to make Herod mad if you don't crucify him. And Pilate said, "Well, send him to Herod and let Herod deal with him." So they took him over to Herod, and Herod interrogated him. And you'll remember, Jesus answered him not a word, not a word, not a word came out of Jesus's mouth. And so Herod sent him back. And Pilate then was pressured by the people, and so he agreed that he should be crucified. Now, all this happened on Wednesday morning. You said, "Well, Pastor, they must have gotten up early." Yes, they did. But the reason that they got up early is because they didn't stay up and watch TV all night. All right? When it got dark, you went to bed. And then you got up. You don't have to sleep 14 hours a night, I guess is what I'm saying. All right? They got up probably 2:30, 3 o'clock after a good night's 8 hours rest. They got up and they started their day. And so, it would have been early when they went to see Pilate, but everybody was awake, everybody was up. That was the way life was. You didn't lay in bed, you didn't have a bed. You had a little cot that you slept on, a little pallet that you slept on. Sleep, we're so spoiled. Oh my goodness, we're spoiled rotten. I've been overseas to places where I looked at the bed and said, you're joking, right? You want me to sleep in that? You're joking, right?" I had in one place, I had a what's those things called where you tie it to the trees? A hammock. Yeah, I had a hammock, and a guy threw a mosquito net at me and said, "Make sure you drape this over yourself and tie it off." And man, that was terrible. When you lay there at night and you hear bzzz around your ears, and then you turn the flashlight on, and there's 9 million mosquitoes flying around your mosquito net trying to get in to eat, you don't sleep very well. But anyway, they would get up early and start their day. And that's why he could go to Pilate and then to Herod and then back to Pilate. And then Pilate ordered him to be, go ahead and be crucified. So they crucified him. He was placed on the cross at 9 o'clock on that Wednesday morning. Now, don't forget, at 6, it's going to start a new day. It will be Thursday. And that Thursday was the Passover of that year. That's when Passover started. So Jesus ate the meal with his disciples on Tuesday night, then was arrested on Tuesday night, hauled in, brought in before Caiaphas, then before the next morning, before Pilate, and then Herod, and then back to Pilate, and then at 9 o'clock on that Wednesday, called the day of preparation because everybody was preparing to shut down at 6 o'clock for the Passover. By the way, do you know what today is? It's Wednesday. Well, it's Thursday over in Israel, but it's Wednesday to us, and today is Passover. All right, so back 2,000 years ago, during the week that Jesus was crucified, Passover was on Thursday. It started Wednesday evening for us at 6 o'clock. But for the Jews, that 6 o'clock became Thursday. So, Jesus was placed on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so, hanging on the cross for 6 hours, he passed, died on that cross at 3 o'clock. Now, all these times are given us in the Gospels. So at 9, he was put on the cross. At 3, he died. 6 hours on the cross. And he had to be taken down from the cross because they could not leave him on the cross during the Passover. It would have been shameful. It would have been against the law. A dead body exposed. And so they had to take him down. So along came a couple of silent believers, Joseph of Arimathea, whose tomb would be used, and then Nicodemus, who got saved back in John 3. And Nicodemus, you'll remember, was a Pharisee. All right, so they took him down, and they prepared his body for burial. All right, so watch this now. Watch this now. Watch it carefully. All right, let's go back and we'll go Wednesday evening. They took him down at 3, and they had to put him in the grave before 6, because at 6, the Sabbath day, the Passover day started, a high Sabbath. So, in the grave sometime before 6 o'clock. And then Passover began. All right, now watch. So you got Wednesday evening at 6, all the way through the evening, and then all the way through the morning and the day, to Thursday at 6 p.m., and that's one day. So Wednesday 6 to Thursday 6, one day. Now, Thursday evening, 6 o'clock p.m., Thursday, to 6 o'clock on Friday, and that's 2 days. And then 6 o'clock on Friday p.m. to 6 o'clock Saturday p.m. is 3 days and 3 nights. Now, does that make sense to you? It should, because that's how it happened. And at 6 o'clock on that Saturday evening, it was no longer Saturday to the Jews, but it was the seventh day, the Sunday, the first day of the week. We go to church on Sunday, not on Saturday, not on the Sabbath day. No, we go to church on Sunday. Now, do you want to know why we go to church on Sunday? Because that's the day that our Savior resurrected from the grave. And so we go to church on Sunday in honor of the resurrection. So why do we go to church on Wednesday nights? Well, we go to church on Wednesday nights in honor of the crucifixion. And that's why in the book of Acts, you see the disciples changing and they worshiped on Sunday. They went to church on Sunday. Now, Paul would go on the Sabbath to the synagogues of the Jews because the Jews would meet on the Sabbath day. But when they established churches met on Sunday and on Wednesday. All right, now, folks, I hope you see that. I hope you understand that. If somebody ever in your family ever says, what are you doing this Good Friday? Well, you just tell them, why do you say that? Isn't every Friday good? Well, what are you talking about? Well, let me explain it to you. And then you can tell them what I just told you tonight. You'd be surprised how many folks just go along with what men say. They don't stop. I've said this thousands of times from behind this pulpit. But we don't read the Bible. It's obvious we don't read the Bible. Because if we read the Bible, we would clearly see that Jesus was not crucified on a Friday. He was crucified on a Wednesday. So let's follow the Bible. Let's listen to the Bible instead of a bunch of religionists and traditionalists and apostates who have absolutely no clue about that which they're speaking. Let's stick with the Word of God. All right, I hope that helps you tonight. And for those of you that wrote and asked the questions, I hope that answers them for you and gives you a good understanding of what happened. You see, if you will read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you'll read these Gospels with the understanding that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, put in the ground before 6 o'clock on Wednesday, and then Wednesday to Thursday, day one, Thursday to Friday, day two, Friday to Saturday, day three, and then the resurrection was in the night as it dawned toward morning. All right? Hope that helps you. Let's pray together, and then we'll ask you to stick with me for just a moment. One more announcement, and then we'll be done. But let's pray. Father, we thank you now for our time together tonight. And I pray that what has been discussed tonight is something that will be clear in our minds and in our hearts. And Father, help us to read the Word of God and believe what the Word of God says. It is so easy for folks just to listen to tradition and just listen to the thoughts of men instead of listening to the Word of God. So, Father, I pray you'll help us to listen to God's Word and understand how all this went down. We need to understand it. We need to know what happened that week when our Savior went to the cross for us. So, Father, bless this to our hearts tonight. And I pray that you'll use it and may it make a difference. May it help folks. May it give them clear understanding of this whole matter. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.